These guys, some of these youngins ain't slept. You know, they purposely tried to stay up. You remember, hey, do y'all remember being teenagers and you're like, being kids, you're like, I'm going to stay up all night. And it's not going to bother me. I can do it. I can stay up all night. How long ago was that for any of y'all? Anybody want to put some years on it? I know at some point you're like, I ain't going to stay up all night unless you pay me. And you're going to have to pay me good to stay up all night. My goodness. But look, we're glad that you're here. Make yourself at home. I'm looking back. I'm seeing folks I ain't seen. I'm happy to see. I've been gone this weekend, but I haven't missed. I just feel like I've been gone. I've been in Kosciuszko with this D now. It was awesome. Our kids did awesome. We were received well by the body of Christ in Itala County. It was really good. I invite you all to be here now and just kind of shake off anything you brought in with you. Let the world run itself for a minute. Let God be God. Give him your praise and give him your attention. Who knows what God might say that gets your attention this morning, okay? This is going to be a good day. Are y'all ready to have a good day? Might as well have a good time right now, right? All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And Lord, as we come before you in song and praise, as we hear your word, Father, fire us up. Help us, Father, to see that you came to save us because you love us, because you want us. And this is a time when we get to say back to you, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done and for who you are, and we love you. Fill our hearts with praise and give us boldness to sing. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Still God, I have a reason to.
I want to say a special thanks to all our, everybody who is with the youth, leading, praying, giving, going. We had to move on the fly. RD Now here got canceled. Our youth leaders jumped into action. They got something so our kids could be somewhere, and I'm so proud of all of them. Y'all, we went down as a unit. We were in Itala County, didn't know nobody, but we hung out together. We represented Christ, and we represented Christ Community Church, and I was just proud of all of them. So give them a hand. They slept on floors. They worked in the cold. They trampled through the mud. They lived on potato chips, which that was by choice. But anyways, it was just good. I want to give you an invitation. We are going to have, at the last part of my service, we're going to talk about celebrating what God has done for us. And I imagine there might be somebody here who might have a testimony, just brief testimony. We're going to have a time where you might could just say, I just want to celebrate what God has done for me. And you'll have a brief opportunity toward the end of the service. So if God puts something on your mind when I come by with the microphone later on, raise your hand and give us a testimony about God's goodness. Amen? All right. Here's my...
Down.
It's not fair when they sing something that God uses and just hits me and gets my eyes to water. It's allergies. If you see something come, it's just allergies. That's all. It has nothing to do with thinking about God welcoming us in, even though we're so unworthy. It has nothing to do with that. Those tears, those are just allergies. So don't you be afraid. Nani's class, are y'all ready? Ready? Break. Are you ready? Yeah. Mama's already. Mama's already. Go. Go. There we go. That might be a little low. That's all. The message today is about hospitality, so we're making room for everybody, you know. Making room for everybody. Today's message is a continuation, really, from last week. Last week, we looked at the first of two words. We looked at the words patience and gratitude. Patience and gratitude, and we talked about that being our perspective. Lord, color our mind so when we see things around us that we'll be patient and we'll be grateful. And we want to look at things that way. I don't know about you, but it wears a little thin when you got to get mad every time something don't go your way. Every time somebody does or says something that you don't agree with, if you've got to get frustrated every time, you might want to just stay in a closet somewhere at home and not listen and see anybody, right? We can look at things patiently. We can look at things like this. The God who is God and there is no other, He has allowed me to experience this day, unique from any other day. And because of that, whatever it may bring, I'm going to be grateful. You can give thanks. It don't matter, good day or bad day. You can give thanks because this is the only day you got. You can't get tomorrow, and you can't go back and get yesterday. You've got today. Might as well be grateful. Might as well be thankful. I just thought to myself, do you smile when you say grateful? I'm trying to think. All right, late. I'm three. Let's say grateful and be mindful about what your mouth does, okay? One, two, three. Grateful. I think it makes you smile just to say the word. I don't know. I didn't even know that. That might be scientific. We just did an experiment. You know what I'm saying? We got something going on here. I'm going to read a scripture to you. I'm going to read Romans chapter 12, verse 13. There's several other scriptures, but this is just one of them. I want us to get started on this basis, and we're going to talk about these two other words. These two other words are hospitality and celebration. Now, hospitality and celebration, these aren't words of perspective only. These are words of strategic planning for living the Christian life and for sharing what God has given you, okay? Strategically planning these two words, hospitality and celebration. We're going to take hospitality first. And Romans 12, 13 says, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Let me pray for us. Father God, now we've heard your word, and you've given these specific words. Would you shape us, shape our church, shape our hearts, shape not just our perspective, but the strategic things that we do to live our life in such a way that the natural flow of it is to share the gospel of grace. That the natural flow of it is to say, I can sacrifice some of my preference. I can sacrifice some of what I have that others may come to know. I can sacrifice my comfort that others might know and also be comforted. Lord, help us. Help us to have a plan. And then, Father, make us those people who are just wild and crazy about you, because you're wild and crazy about us. Help us, Lord, to lose all the dignified churchery that's gathered up in our soul like so much dust and cobwebs, and blow that out that we might really celebrate the fact that we know you because you're the God of everything. Father, we love you and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I think to myself, and part of what got me kind of weepy-eyed and my allergies going while I was sitting here talking about when we were singing the Holy Spirit song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here because I've tasted of the sweetest love and I've been welcomed into God's plan through the Holy Spirit, is I think and about how my family might have been different had they run into people of God who would welcome everybody. How my family might have been different. How my whole life might have had a different course. Now, I'm glad for where I am. Don't get me wrong. But I think about the teacher who is teaching at a church school, a private school. And when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, she took her students out around the flagpole, held hands, and bowed their heads and just prayed. They prayed the Lord's Prayer and they sang a hymn. And she went back into that class with her students. And later that day, the administration fired her for honoring a man of color in a time when private Christian schools didn't do that. And there was a young girl in that class whose name is Veronica. And I don't know that she knows the Lord, but there was a believer who was willing to take her out and pray, but there was a church that said, you're not welcome if you look like that. You're not welcome to honor people like that. It breaks my heart.
Because I know that church has moved on. I know it's not like that everywhere. I know there's places like that, but it makes me think, what if those group of people, what if that church was willing at that time to say, you know what, we're going to recognize and say, we're going to accommodate when folks are speaking out in the Lord, and we're going to be loving, and we're going to be hospitable. Y'all know I buried my grandmother this year. Somebody who went into a state of dementia. She was there for months and couldn't communicate accurately for her last month. She had Lewy body dementia, which is like Parkinson's on your body and Alzheimer's on your brain. It's bad. She was hostile toward God her whole adult life because she was in a bad marriage. And she came to a church and said, I'm in this marriage and I can't do anything. I'm suffocating. I'm dying. What are you going to do to help me? And they didn't do anything to help her. They shunned her because she was a divorced and wanted to have a divorce. She was a divorced woman. They shunned her. And from that point on, she shunned God and was hostile to God. And I'm thinking to myself, what if there was a church there that said, we're not so much concerned with your marital status. We're not so much concerned with where you've come from or what you've done, but we want to show you the love of God. And we want to welcome you in, not keep you out. Maybe I wouldn't be guessing. You know what my hope is? My hope is in a God, which is never a bad hope, right? Who can talk to people with dementia and Alzheimer's. Who can talk to somebody no matter how far they are. Grace reaches that far. It doesn't matter. You know, God, she wasn't out of God's communication. She knew the gospel. She grew up in church. She wasn't always hostile to God. It wasn't until she came up to something that was just like, uh-uh, you're not welcome here because of what you've done, because of who you are. And I think to myself, what kind of life would that be? I remember going to church one time, and I never go to church on my own. I was a teenager. What do you think drew me to this church? It was a Baptist church. In Michigan, what do you think? I didn't belong there, but why do you think I might have went to that church? I went one time. They had a Wednesday night service. I went one time. What do you think I was going for? There was, yeah, well, y'all flatter me, like girls. No, there's really just one. There was just one, you know. I had my license. I could drive. She went to this church. I found out what church she went to, and I thought, you know what? I didn't know anything about being lost and saved and church and all that stuff. I was just a regular heathen. I didn't care about any of that stuff. But I was like, she's cute. And I think, she goes to that church there, I'm going to try it. So I went to that church. Not a soul talked to me. I mean, literally played basketball around me, left me standing in the middle of the court, wouldn't talk to me. I went down into where they were having their lesson. Wasn't a seat for me. Wasn't anything for me. Didn't accommodate me at all. And I think to myself, you know what I thought? Well, I'm not their people. They're not my people. So whatever they got going on, it's not for me. Now, if you'd have asked them that, do you think that Jesus could save this guy? They'd be like, yeah, their theology would have been right on. But their hospitality said, uh-uh, there wasn't no hospitality. There was no hand reached out to that strange dude who was just looking after a cute girl. There was no looking for the opportunity to extend the kingdom of God to somebody who otherwise didn't belong. Y'all, look, hospitality is a great, great resource. It's a great strategy to win people to Jesus. Now let me tell you another bit of hospitality, some other church people. Y'all met Jeff Heim. He was here now. It's been a couple years, but he made an impact. He's my preacher friend. He reminds me of a fire hydrant. You know, he's thick, but he's short. You know what I'm saying? He can preach it. He's awesome, man. I love him, and I love his family. And I want to tell you something. They were church people. And they saw that I was lost. They set out every day for supper. There's four people in their family, mom and dad, two brothers. But every day I went to their house, there was five plates, five sets of silverware, five cups, and five chairs around their table. And after a while, I knew exactly who those things were for. They're for me. They're for me every single time. they made room for me at the table. I was the kid that you probably didn't want. You know, I wasn't all crazy, but I mean, for Christian parents, I probably was not the kid that you'd want your other kids playing around. I mean, I wasn't rude. I wasn't, I was, but not to parents. But you know what I'm saying? But my values were not Christian values. My wants and desires were not Christian wants and desires. But you know what they did? Instead of saying, I don't want you by my son, they said, why don't you have a seat? Now, it took a while, but when I was 19 years old, so it wasn't that long, right? It was a few years, but after hospitality, I had a right to go in their house. I had refrigerator rights in their house. I didn't have to knock on the door. I could walk in the house, walk in the refrigerator, look, see if there was anything I wanted. If there was, I grabbed it. If there wasn't, I put it back. You know, I just shut the door, sit on the couch. If nobody was home, I'd just wait for them, watch TV. And when the time was right, when God had me ready, he sat my friend's dad, Gary Heim, across from me on the table, and he went through the gospel with me, and I got saved. And you know what opened me up? Some people who were opened up to me. What made me ready was vibrant showing of hospitality and Christian love. That's what opened me up. That's what opened my ears up. That's what made me say, I want to hear what you got to say. I want to hear what you got to say. Let me tell you about God and hospitality. God is the most hospitable being ever. He invented it. He exudes it. It just comes forth from him. It is from the beginning. If you look at the creation story, God made heaven and earth, right? And then he made the light, and he made the land, he made the sea, he made the sky, he filled the sea up with fish, he filled the sky up with birds, he filled the land up with beasts, and then he made us. Why did he make us last? And where did he bring us? It says he brought us to a place called Eden, a garden, a paradise. You know what he was doing? He made a place for us, and he welcomed us in to a place that is still synonymous with perfection, with paradise. God created a place for us to be perfectly accommodated. Now, I know this is weird, but every once in a while I like to throw weird things out there. You know, we think about Adam and Eve. Before the fall, what kind of clothes did they wear? Uh-oh. You know why? Because the thermostat was perfect. Now, I know that seems simple, but on a cold morning like this morning, aren't you glad for clothes? You know, what if it was really, really hot? What do people in the Sahara Desert wear? They don't go around in skibbies just because it's hot. What do they wear? They wrap up. They got turbans and big old things to keep the sun from beating down on them and making them sick. You know why? Because the climate's not perfect here or there or anywhere. But in Eden, it was perfect. There wasn't any shame and there wasn't any reason to have a barrier from our environment, because God, whose heart is of hospitality, just brought us into a perfect environment for us. And we blew it. We weren't good guests in Eden. But I just want you to see the heart of God in it. His heart is to welcome us and to accommodate our needs. Now let's go all the way to the end of the book, in the book of Revelation. What's it going to be like there when we walk into heaven? Something tells me we're going to strip this stuff back off and be, I don't know. You're like, we're going to be naked in heaven. I don't know if we're going to be naked in heaven. I just know this. It's going to be perfect. Again, heaven is a word synonymous with perfection and paradise and things, isn't it? And how do you get in there? You can't force your way in. You can't buy your way in. How's the only way to get to heaven? God's got to let you in. He welcomes you in. And who has he welcomed? God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Who's welcome? Everybody who will believe. Come on. There's God throwing the doors of heaven wide open, saying, in Christ, it's open. Wide open. Come on. There's no limit. There's no population control. Come on in. And how was it described? It said, man, the streets are like gold. Jesus said, I'm preparing a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm not even going to give you a map of how to get there. I'm going to come back and get you because I love you and because I'm hospitable. I'm going to pick you up and take you with me that you might be where I am. Heaven and earth, all that God has made, shows his hospitality. It shows his loving kindness. It shows his goodness. I love that. The fanciest thing that I've ever done, I think, was on Sarah and I, when we were on our honeymoon, we spent a day and a night on an island in Michigan. It's called Mackinac Island. And so you got to take a boat, you know, obviously, it's an island. It's not one there's a bridge to. So we had to take a boat there. We were staying at the Grand Hotel. And what they did was they sent a horse and carriage to the boat docks. And when we got there, they took our luggage. A guy gets out, top hat, tuxedo, gets out of this horse carriage. He gets our stuff. He puts it in the back, opens the door, and helps us all in. And we get in, and we, you know, shimmy over, and we're smiling. Fancy, you know. People are looking at us, and we're thinking, whew, there's some fancy people. We felt fancy. It was pretty awesome. We get there. Never saw our bags until we got into our room. You know, they just took them right from the boat place all the way up into our room. Didn't have to do anything. Had 7-course dinner. I had to wear a coat. You know, all this stuff. It was all fancy. I felt so taken care of. Can I tell you something? That's not got nothing to do. How you think you're going to feel when Jesus Christ comes for his bride? How you going to feel when Christ comes for his people? You think we felt fancy because a horse come up? Now, horses are great and stuff, but when the God of creation says, it's time for y'all to come with me, wow, thank you, Lord. He's not sending a chauffeur. He's not sending the greatest of archangels. He himself will descend with a shout, with the trumpet of God. He's coming to get us. That's hospitality. That's how God does it. Y'all, it's awesome. Y'all get the picture of that? Now, this is what I want for us. As the pastor, and I'm sorry, you might say, well, he don't get to want for us. I can want for you at least a little bit. This is what I want for Christ Community Church. Because I promise, I believe, are leading the pack in this hospitality deal. But I believe we can set records. I believe we can be as wide open as Jesus is. If Jesus will accept him, we ought to accept him too, right? I mean, if they're welcome there, if he'll welcome them in the name of the Lord, can we welcome them here in the name of the Lord? What's our motto? Are you sure? All right, let's say it like we're sure. What is it again? What's our motto? This is the place where everyone is welcome. Y'all, listen. I think God wants to just open that wide up. He wants to bless us in that. I think we could set records in it. To me, it's so exciting when I think about Christ Community Church, what might be accomplished here through Jesus' name. And we might think, we don't got a lot of money, John. We don't got a lot of staff. We don't got a lot of that. Well, you know what? What do we got? We got some hospitality. This church welcomed a brand new preacher who never was a pastor before, welcomed him into his midst. I've been here 12 years now because I've been welcomed, and we became family, and my family became your family. I had a lady, I want to tell you, anyways, I had this lady said, are you looking for a church at this D now? There's a church in Itala County looking for a pastor. She said, you looking for a church? You know what I said? No. I said, I'm not. I said, we've grown up. We've like grown up together. There's a bond. There's something special. I was welcomed here. I was a Yankee. I was. Hear that? Was? I was a Yankee. What are you now? I have no idea what I am now. I'm a Southern Yankee, which is a Sankey. I ain't nothing but a Sankey. There's our preacher. Where's he from? He ain't from nowhere no more. He's just here now. That's all he's got. But y'all, look. It's an awesome thing. We can do that. It doesn't come natural, but we can do that as a church. I believe we can set records. And they would say, that's the place. They say, man, we got somebody. We don't know if they can go to church. We don't know if they'd be welcome anywhere. They've got some mess. They've been involved in stuff. I hope everybody in Grenada, even if they don't come to Christ Community, they'll say, oh, you know what? They could go to that church. They can go to Christ Community Church. Big John will be their pastor. They can go there. They'll be welcome there. Oh, man, I hope we can do that. Now, just in a personal note, this is one of the places God's been hitting me. I'm wide open to people. I like people. I like to entertain. I like to have folks, you know, come. But I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not trying to hurt my wife's feelings. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not trying to make you feel bad about me or whatever. But personally, I mean, although I'm wide open to people, I have some habits that keep me from being as hospitable as I can be. Like right now, if you needed a ride, like some folks needed a ride to church today, and I had to go steal a car. I stole one from Nani. I went and stole Nani's car, but then the Walters ended up volunteering their car, because the truth is, you couldn't fit a playing card in my car right now. There's a room for me. And I just, now I'm not trying to be light, but I'm giving you an example of where God's hitting me. If there ain't room in your car for anybody but you, how hospitable can you afford to be when somebody needs a ride? Do you get what I'm saying? If there's only room for you in your stuff, in your house, in your car, in your life, in your soul, because everything else is so cluttered up, it's all about you, how can you be hospitable? How can you extend the hand of accommodation? How can you say you're welcome here? It's hard. And so God's been hitting me on the head saying, simple things. John, you're missing the opportunity to be hospitable with your car. You're missing the opportunity to be hospitable with your home. You're missing the opportunity to be hospitable with some of the tools that God's given you. Now that's me. I wonder about y'all. Are you open to hospitality? Are you open for God using what He's given you? Do you see that your car and your home and your time are things that God has given you to use for Him? And are you open to be hospitable with those things? I need to grow in it. I need to grow. I need to grow some habits that will help me to be hospitable in very practical means. Because if I can get somebody in my car, I can tell that somebody about the Lord. If I can get somebody to my table, maybe one day there'll be a young man just like I was sitting at my table, and I'll be able to have a plate and a setting and all that out for him and say, son, you're welcome here, because I've been welcomed into the kingdom of God by Jesus Christ, and I want to know you're welcome in my home, and you're welcome in my church, and you're welcome in my life. Isn't that something? That's pretty awesome stuff. God has that for us. Think about it. Think through your life. Are you open? Now, I'm going to tell you, some of the folks around here, y'all get A's in hospitality. I mean, I've been to your homes, and it's just like you walk in, I feel like you're a guest at a hotel. You're just kind of like, come on in, sit down. Here's an apple pie. I just had it ready in case somebody came by. Here's some fresh coffee. You know, I'm looking at the Reeves, and there's like, here's a buffet of vegetables and some popcorn. And yeah, because they're some of the most hospitable folks you're going to meet. You know, and it's just awesome. For y'all, what I want to do is just encourage you and just get you to thinking about how awesome an opportunity you have and what you do, and some of you who just do because that's just how you're geared up. You know, we're starting our small groups at different homes, and I can say this, I'm so proud. We're going to see how it works. We're moving forward kind of like on an experimental basis. We're not trying to win or lose or fail. We're going forward saying we're going to give it a shot. And those homes have opened it up. I understand the pressure of it. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being willing to open your home. Thank you for being even think about having people come over and pile up and sit on your stuff and wear out your couches. And, you know, hopefully you got no nose pickers in the group. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. You know, hopefully you never know. Have some Kleenex out there just in case. But the point is how cool it is when people open up their personal stuff and they say, come and learn about the Lord. Hear about the gospel. Be friends. Here, it's an awesome thing. Now, anyways, I just want to be thankful for about that. That was the big one. Now, here comes the celebration. All right, and I want you to look at Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, the real familiar story of the prodigal son. But before they tell the story of the prodigal son, Jesus tells two other stories about things that were lost and then they were found. In verse 6, a man had lost his sheep. He finds his sheep. At the end of chapter 15, verse 6, it says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Then in verse 9, a woman who had lost a coin, and it's a precious thing to her, she searched the whole house and she finds it. And then finally she says to her friends, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, and she says, rejoice with me. I have found the peace which I had lost. Then the main story in this chapter has to be about a son, a father rather, has two sons. One who leaves the house, asks for the inheritance early, goes into a faraway country, gets drunk, high, and other things, gambles it all, wastes it. The one and only inheritance he's going to get from his father, he wastes it. I'm thinking it probably took 5 minutes. But anyways, it could have been longer. But he wastes it. And then he comes back, head hung low, wondering what in the world's going to happen. Hoping that God would just let him, or that his father would just let him live in the garage or live in the servant's quarters. Will you just treat me like a slave? It'd be all right. I just need to live. I'm afraid I'm going to die. And I'm just coming to you not worthy of anything. He doesn't know what the father's going to do. But I want to tell you what the father did because it's so insightful. In verse 23, it says, "Now bring out the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this son of mine was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost and is found," and they began to make merry. In verse 32, it says, "It was right that we should make merry and be glad." Do y'all hear? Do you hear everything in that chapter? It says, "Let us make merry." Now that's an old way of saying things. But this is what it means. It means let us have a mindset that there's a celebration in order because what was lost has been found. What was missing has been brought back. What was dead has been brought back to life. And God gets all the glory for it. And because of that, there's a celebration in order. And notice it's not just a self thing. Oh, then I was happy. I heard about the news and I was happy. But when I get into a big group of people, I don't act happy because I don't want anybody to think I'm happy. I want to make everybody think I'm very sensible, that I'm very in control. And so I don't want anybody to know I'm overly emotional or happy or anything. I'm just going to, you know, keep it straight. But you notice they say, "Let us rejoice together. Let us make merry together." When the church gathers up, it ought to be for celebration. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to judge by the looks I'm getting. The looks I'm getting are saying, "No." "But it's a very good sermon. Please move on." I know what some of y'all are thinking. When I used to celebrate, it involved drunkenness and rowdiness and all that stuff. And you can't think of celebrating any other way. Well, you know what? I got that same issue in my brain. I say this to you. Let's figure out what it means to celebrate as Christians because Jesus Christ died for our sins, is alive from the dead, and because of that we can be saved and we ought to be happy about it, right? We ought to just be celebratory. We ought to be like, "Hey, I think my batteries ran out. Are they still on there? Hello?" Now, I told you, we're going to take brief testimonies. Brief. I'm the only one who gets to talk too much on Sunday morning. Y'all can talk all the rest you want every other time. Sunday morning, I am the big mouth, right? So does anybody just want to share briefly a testimony about the goodness of God in a way of just saying, "Rejoice with me. Hey, rejoice with me in what God has done." You can raise your hand to indicate that you want to do that. Yes, Miss Deborah.
This is the time when I was living in Chipola, and I went to an oral surgeon to have a tooth removed. And after the tooth, they got the tooth out, I ended up with a broken jaw. I had osteomyelitis of the jawbone. The doctors thought I had some weird disease, and they caused the disease control man, and I couldn't talk, so I had to write down what I had, and they had to start me on drip and a heavy antibiotic. I almost died. They had to put drip in my arm through a Portafix that to make sure the infection kept down, they had to remove it from one spot to another. Well, I had suffered a stroke, and they didn't think I'd pull through. I got up with that IV. I started walking around, because when I heard that voice, "Get up and walk," the Lord saved me from death. I was praying, and my mom and dad was praying. And when you got prayer warriors, I believe in miracles.
My name's Fonda Little, and I'm 28 years old, and I've been battling with addiction since I was 13. And about 2.5 months ago, I had a stroke, and now my left arm is working fine now. Like, it's a miracle that my hand is still normal. And I went to Denton House, a rehab, and got saved. And I have 72 days sober by the grace of God, and I'm writing recovery poetry and a daily journal to help people see like how I'm transforming, and trying to motivate people to choose sobriety too, because it's the best way to live.
When that which was lost is found, it's right that we make merry. It's right that we rejoice together. Amen. Anybody else? Any other? One. We got time for one more brief one. But, Walter. Not Latine. You don't want me? Okay, we're going to end the service for me being back here, too. Can y'all ahead and move around. You can hear Walter. Walter's going to share. You going to share?
I was going to say, I didn't think.
Hey, my name is Latonya. I'm Cotton. Me and Walter was in a bad car accident October the 12th. So we stayed in the hospital until the 18th. That day, I guess God was with us, because Walter told me not to sit on the driver's side. He told me to sit in the middle. When somebody hit us from behind, I was pinned up in the trunk. I looked like a dish rag. And I'm just saying, I was just balled up. He jumped out, and I knowing his hip was broken. It broke my pelvis and my left hip. But I know it's a God, because we are here. And I thank all of y'all for the prayers, the food, the gifts, and everything. And I'm glad that, you know, God saved our life. It was me and my daughter and my husband, and we was trying to take her to the burn center. The whole of October had been bad for us. The 4th, my daughter had got second-degree burn. Then they kept her overnight in Jackson. Then a couple of days later, he got bit by a pit. Then that next week, we're in a car accident. So y'all continue to pray for us, because I see now the more you pray and the more you go to church and read your Bible, Satan is trying to get you. But we're going to defeat him, because we're here. And I thank God for that. And I thank you too, Pastor, because you made me have hope, me and Walter. You came to see us in church. So thank you.
So the whole idea is that when we see God doing what God does, saving, healing, delivering from things, it's right that we make merry. And when we get together on Sundays, let's go forward with this experiment. Lord, show us how we ought to celebrate. When we sing, man, let's celebrate. When we hear testimonies of God doing things, let's celebrate. When we just hear the gospel about how people are saved, let's just celebrate. You know, and we don't got to do it in any one way or shape or form, but let's be that church that's saved and happy. Does that make sense? All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. And I pray right now, if there's anybody here who may have to do business with you, Lord, it's kind of a strange sermon talking about hospitality and celebrating, but who knows that you might not work through your spirit. When John 3:16 and 17 were read, and somebody was like, you know what? I want to believe. I want to be delivered from drugs and alcohol. I want to be healed. I want to be saved. Father, who knows that there might be someone in here came with that need on their heart. And it didn't matter what I was going to say. You had them here for that time to come to you and say, help me, Lord. So, Father, if there's any here who need you in that way? Would you move in their life? Would you fill them up? Would you give them courage to move forward and to do business with you here today? Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask the ushers if they'll come forward to take the morning offering. And as they come forward, I'm going to pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity we have to just come before you to celebrate, to welcome each other in the name of Jesus, to do these things, Father, and help us to go forward and grow in it. And Lord, we give you all the praise. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
just a pretty song. Y'all, listen, we have our finance team meeting. Everybody's welcome. Nobody has to not be here. You know, there's no secret things. But I am going to dismiss service in case you don't want to be here, so you don't get trapped in our finance team meeting. But it's really cool, okay? It's cooler than most finance team meetings. And so, but I'm going to do that now. If you're leading a small group tonight, if you would come up here in between right now and the 5 minutes when the meeting's going to start, if you'd come up here and see me real quick, that'd be awesome. So let me pray for us. Father, thank you again for welcoming us into your world and through Christ welcoming us into your family, into your eternal home. And Father, we love you. I pray as we go, you'd keep us safe and you'd help us to remember how good you are, and that we wouldn't keep our celebration bound just into the church walls, but that we'd carry it with where we go. We'd carry it to restaurants, to work, to home. We'd carry it on social media. We'd carry it everywhere we go, just being grateful and glad that we're saved. And so, Lord, we love you. And as we go, I pray you'd be with us all. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I love you all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Ready? Ready.